And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And today we are going to talk about the ascension of Christ. Now, we've talked about the three times that he came to his disciples after his death, burial, and resurrection. And so this time what we're going to do is talk about the ascension of Christ as far as his predetermined of when he was going to go back up to heaven. And we're going to dive right into it. First of all, we had some of the gospel referred to of the ascension straight from Christ's own mouth, and that's from the Gospel of John. And he has three references to the ascension in Jesus' own words. First was, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And that's from John chapter 3, verse 13. So basically what Christ is saying is that no one has ascended into heaven but the man who descended first or from heaven. So no one could go from heaven or to heaven unless they first had come from heaven. So and then we see later on we have John what if the disciples, that's who he's talking to, were to see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? And that's John 6, chapter 6, verse 62. And then we have Mary Magdalene after his resurrection. And he tells her, do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And that's from John chapter 20, verse 17. So we have John referencing Christ, mentioning the ascension three times, telling his followers, telling his disciples that it's coming, that I am going to ascend back up into heaven with my Father. And before he decides he's going to go, he decides he's going to do this great commission. And this is where we get it. And it's going to be, I'm going to use Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And that's the last commission. This is where he basically tells the disciples to, you know, go out and make fishers of men. And this is what it says. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated to them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. Now, that particular section has a lot to digest. First of all, that's where we get the authority to go out and preach in his name. He's giving us authority to tell the world of him, of his ministries, what God wants. The other thing, too, is he affirms the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of churches out there that tend to shy away from the Trinity. They say, well, Jesus was God and then man, but isn't of both. They have a skewed sense of the Trinity. And so right here, God or Jesus is basically saying, teach them to follow in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have Mark basically saying the same thing. There's a little variation, and that's what I want to kind of show you a little bit. So it's Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 18. And this is the same thing. This is the Great Commission. Later he appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he commended them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So here's basically two accounts of the last commission. Now, Matthew basically is saying that on all in heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations. Mark here is now talking about going to the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is where we also see where they say they will speak of with new tongues, pick up serpents, cast out demons. This is where we get a lot of the New Age church stuff, because they'll point to this and say, well, see, we're doing the same thing the disciples did. And the problem with that is that that was only for the disciples. They were supposed to go out and preach the gospel. They didn't say anything here where the people that believe will be able to cast out diamonds or demons or speak new tongues or anything. He's talking to them, the disciples. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they... So, basically, you have to look at the whole thing overall. Now, what's nice is that you get two different accounts of the same thing. And this kind of shows where perspective is throughout the Bible. You can find the same story in multiple pages, but they still jive with the same awareness and the same main key points. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go over a little bit of the versions of the ascension. Now, the thing with that is we're going to use the three different books where it's mentioned about the ascension. Now, Matthew stops right there with the last commission. He doesn't go on and say about Christ ascending to the heavens. We get Luke, Mark, and Acts. So after Mark is talking about the last commission and about them speaking new tongues and picking up serpents and stuff like that, he's going to go on and talk about how Christ ascended into the heavens. And back in the time, there was a lot of ascension stories. And so it was uncommon for certain people to have stories about how their rulers ascended up to heaven. You know, you have a lot of the rulers from Rome or Greece, Egypt even. They would tell stories about how great their king was or ruler, and that he was godlike and was able to ascend up to the heavens. So when Christ is talking about this, it wasn't something new. It wasn't like this was a new idea for anybody, for someone to ascend up to heaven. And so a lot of people would believe this right off of just face value, because they'd heard of other stories like this. And so they were like, well, he must have been, you know, a god or and not realizing he is the God, not a God, the God. And so we're going to go, when we come back from the break, we're going to read those three verses there of the ascension of Christ. And that's where we'll kind of wrap it up. And then we'll, for the next week, we'll go over something different. So we'll be right back after this short break. And welcome back to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And this week we are talking about the ascension of Christ. Last week we talked about the three times that he showed up to his disciples. That's where we learn about the story of the doubting Thomas, where Christ basically says, touch the holes in my hand, touch the gash in my side. Do you believe me now? And this is now, we've gone over the Great Commission already. And this is where he basically gives his last commandment to his disciples before ascending back up to heaven. And just to read it one more time so we all are on the same page, we're going to read Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. It says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated to them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now, that's where Matthew stops. He doesn't talk about when Christ actually ascends back up to heaven. That's where the chapter stops, and then we move on. But if we look into the Bible, there are three times or three other Bible books where the ascension is actually talked about. And we're going to talk about that. So the verses for the ascension, we're going to go Luke chapter 24, verse 50 to 53. And it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we were continually in the temple praising God." So there's the first account of the ascension. Basically, he lifted up his hands, blessed them, and then parted. Nothing, you know, super fancy or anything like that. No chariot rushing in. You know, we don't have Moses and Isaac or Jacob or anybody or Abraham showing up. It's basically, you know, he just parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So next we're going to go into Mark chapter 16. And this is 19 through 20. And this says, "So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." So here we have, he was received up into heaven. Once again, nothing grander, no chariots of fire, no heavenly angel brigade coming down or anything like that. Just a very simple, he went up, was received up into heaven, and then sat down on the right-hand side of God. And basically, this is just reassuring what to the disciples that when they preach in his name, they hold up his commandments, that he would show signs that they were correct. So if they would prophesy, it would come true if it was in his name and was doing his work. This is where we also, you know, sometimes get false prophets. They say things that aren't what Christ is wanting, and so then you don't have that coming true. So then we have Acts. This is Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. And it says this, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" And this is where we know that Christ coming back down to earth is going to come from above. It's not going to come from a virgin birth. It's not going to come from somebody just randomly saying, "Oh, hey, I'm reincarnated, you know, Jesus," or anything like that. He will come from above. And we will all know when he comes down. And that's also told in Revelation as well. So this and Revelation kind of matches up. But here we have two men in white. So generally the belief is that they are angels, obviously, and kind of helping to prophesy what's to come. But yeah, so there's the ascension of Christ. So we've talked about the last commission. This is where we're supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing. This is where the concept of baptizing is really reinforced. Obviously, baptizing was very important because Christ himself was baptized by John the Baptist. And so now he's saying the same thing to his disciples. You need to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we get the three accounts of the ascension, which basically coincides right after the commission where he's taken up. And like I said, in these times, ascension stories wasn't necessarily uncommon. And so, you know, they would prophesy or they would talk about this and people wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, well, that's not right. That's not something that happens every day. There was a lot of people that were talking about it. So the greatest thing that they had to worry about was being persecuted for this new religion, basically going against what the Jewish laws had already said. And so that's where a lot of the disciples were persecuted, because of that, not because of seeing Christ rise up or anything like that. It's because of the new covenant that he had done, which we talked about in the Last Supper and through the Easter episode. So that's the ascension. That's the last commission, and that's the last part of it. Now, if you really want to get into like the end of days, what's to come, stuff like that, obviously Revelation is going to be the book you're going to want to read. Now, I've done some studies on it. I've read it, obviously, a couple of times. It is a book that you could read it and get one idea. You read it a second time, you're like, that makes more sense this time, but now I get a different view. And then you read it the third time, and you're getting something totally different else. So Revelation is a hard book to understand sometimes. So I'm not necessarily going to do a Bible study on it. I'm not going to do a show on it. It's not because I don't want to. It's just I don't feel confident enough in it to proceed with that. But so that's the books. I think what we're going to do is this is going to be an interesting one, but I think what we're going to do is going to do Peter's sermon with the Pentecostal. I think that's something that I kind of want to do. I've already read it. I've studied it and everything. So I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to do Pentecostal Sunday, the sermon there. And I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. But I do like, with the last commission, especially with small towns, they take this to heart so much. I mean, here we go out, we talk to people new to the community or to areas in the community where they may not go to church. And so with this last commission, we take this to heart. We really try to make sure that you find some church that fits your perspective. And we've already gone over what type of churches are right for people, what their beliefs and which ones are okay, which ones to really not try to go to. And so, you know, that's a little small town perspective on that. But this is, you know, this is kind of the wrap up of the Easter and everything like that. So once again, if you have any concerns or comments or anything like that, I'm on Facebook or Instagram. You can also email me at smalltownwithmacaff@gmail.com. And I'm hoping everybody likes this new microphone. I was able to get it. And so I shot a picture up on Instagram. So if you want to take a look at it. And yes, I do have a couple Star Wars plush dolls stuff. I do like Star Wars. So anyway, so we'll talk about Pentecostal Sunday next week. And have a great week.